You're listening to the weekly teaching podcast of South Hills Church in Corona, California. We hope that what you hear today inspires you to laugh, question, think, and grow. If you'd like to connect with us even further, hit us up online at southhills.org/corona. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy this week's episode.
Today's message I titled Grace, the Grind, and Gratitude. And one of the reasons why I called it the grind is because of coffee, actually. Like, we have coffee back on Sunday mornings in person if you ever want to check us out. But I love coffee. I love a good cup of coffee. There's always something about coffee that picks me up and brings that little bit of like life in the morning where like I'm like just drag out of bed. I'm just like trying to get back up into the things. But also, like, as I've gotten older, I've learned to appreciate good coffee, like the really good kind of coffee that you have to like go drive away to some coffee shop that they do it the right way. Like Starbucks, it's good. Like, but there's also like, there's good coffee. And like, I've learned like the steps of what it takes to make great coffee. And I definitely appreciate when I can take the time to then do that. You know, it's really about like the grind, like having the right kind of grind and the right kind of water that fits into that. There's all these steps that if you were to break it apart, really do go into making a great cup of coffee. And you know, you want to have the grind just the right amount. So if you're doing espresso, you might want it grind a little smoother. But if you're doing something like French press, like you might want it a little coarser, you know, but you do have to have the right kind of grind and the right kind of saturation of water in there, the kind of filter that you use. Like, there's all these different steps that you can kind of craft just the right kind of cup of coffee. And if you have any one of those steps a little off, it actually can kind of turn out to be a little too bitter. It can be a little coarse. You might end up have grounds in it in the wrong way. And it just, and you don't get to enjoy that really great cup of coffee. And I think that there's actually something about learning those different steps that then ends up for us to be able to enjoy life. Here's a question I have for you. Is it possible to have gratitude in the grind of life? The grind of life, like, what, is it possible to do that? And maybe if we understand some of the different steps of what life is and what's going on here, we might be able to learn how to have gratitude in the midst of the grind. Especially when you read scripture, right? Like, sometimes I read things and I'm like, Can this happen? Like, can this really be my life today? You know, I read this like here in 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. Paul, he's writing this and he's saying these short little statements. And this is what he writes. He says, always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Wait. God's will is for me to have these three statements. I'm supposed to have this joy always. I'm supposed to have this prayer. And really, when I think about this, I'm thinking it's about this relationship with God that just never ends. It's this connection with the all-powerful being of the creator of the universe that I get to have, and it never stops. I just get to experience that. And then to be thankful, not just in the good times, but in all circumstances. And this is God's will for my life, for those who belong in Christ Jesus. So I follow Jesus. I say that that's a part of what I'm doing in my life. And I strive after him, but yet maybe I'm missing out because I don't know about you, but like, I don't feel this way all the time. But if I think about this statement of like, having thanks, having a gratitude in the midst of a gripe-filled culture. When I read verses like this, I'm like, what is that? How can I have that? Because if I look at my own life, to be honest, like there's a lot of things that get in the way. There's a lot of things that I struggle with when it comes to life. Maybe for you, it's something like you're always looking for what's next. I know that's for me. I'm always like thinking about what's going on in my current like circumstances. And I'm like, I see where I am now, but like, I'd really love to be there. I'd really love like to get out of this current season and really be there in this next thing. And you know, this is okay. But like, really, when this happens, then I'll be happy. You know, maybe for you, it was getting married. You know, you're like, you're single and you couldn't wait to get married. And so, hey, okay, when I get married, then that's when everything's going to fall in line. Or then you get married and then you're like, okay, well, things are great that you're enjoying this, but like, you know, your wife starts talking or you start talking together, like, you know, okay, well, when we have kids, that's really when like life is going to pull together. That's when things are going to be the way that we wanted it to be, you know, and we're going to get past like the current now, like something about the current and here, we're always looking for to be there. And you may, then you have a kid and then you're like, okay, well, when our kid gets like out of diapers, like that's the thing that we can't wait to get out of here and be there, you know, whatever it might be. I think we all have something like that where we struggle with actually being present and we're looking for what is like in the future. And we don't learn how to be grateful and thankful and present in the here and now because we're always looking for what's ahead. I have this question that when I was thinking about it, I had to take some time to really wrestle with it. And it was, what place does the past, the present, and the future play in our lives? What role does the past, the present, and the future play in our lives? Because I think for some of us, the future we hold on to in a way that actually gets in the way of us enjoying the present. But also maybe flip it. For some of us, maybe it's the past. We hold on to these things of, well, not just what then, but like, no, back then. Back then, that was when I had this amazing life, this things that I was thankful for and grateful for. And I just wish it could be like that again. What role does the past, the present, and the future play in our life? And I wonder if somewhere in the midst of that, those things are getting in the way of us being able to live a grateful life. That the grind of the here and now, the present, is calling us and dragging us either toward the past or into the future in a way that doesn't let us then be present. Now, I wonder if maybe there is some enemies that we need to identify in our own life, some things that are getting in the way of the reward, getting in the way of what God would intend for us. If his intent is for us to be joy-filled, to be grateful, and to be able to be in connection with him, I mean, that sounds pretty awesome. Like, that sounds like a really great thing to have, to be full of gratitude in a way that lets us live life to its fullest, regardless of the circumstances, not just when things are good, but also when things are difficult. I want that. And I wonder for you if maybe it's one of these three enemies. For you, maybe the one enemy is the pillow. It's things go on in the grind of life, and you then are called back to like lay back and just be lazy. And just like you can't wait for comfort. You seek that thing that then you just like you draw into that maybe helps you because it's comfortable, because it's easy. And you know there's some difficult stuff in the grind of life. And so then you draw into like wanting to cuddle up with that nice comfy pillow. Maybe that's the enemy, because I think in some ways we do want to be comfortable, but that might get in the way of then the goodness that God might want to place in our life. Maybe for you, it's the second enemy. Maybe it's the shiny thing. You can't wait to have that one thing that like, okay, well, when I finally get that thing, that shiny thing in my life, I'll be all right. I'll be good. I can't wait to get the car. I can't wait to get the ring. I can't wait to get the phone. The new iPhone has just come out. Like, this is gonna be so good. It's like, it can do trillions of things in like a little bit. Like, I can't wait to have the shiny thing. But I wonder if in some ways seeking after that is preventing us from enjoying a grateful life now. But maybe for you, it's the towel. For you, maybe it's things are going on in your life and you've been beat up and you failed and you just are done. And you just want to throw in the towel. And you're just like, I don't know what to do here because the work is not worth it. I don't know what to do with this. And so you want to throw in the towel. See, I think all of these things are the backdrop for us to be able to then talk about having a grateful life, to talk about having a life that is centered in God's will, for us to be able to enjoy joy, to be able to love and connect with a loving God, and to be able to be filled with thankfulness, to be filled with a gratitude that protects us then from these other enemies, protects us from things that might want to drag us down and the gripe that might start to well up in our own heart. You see, I wonder if for you, the work of life, the work of the grind, is it worth it? Are you struggling to find gratitude in the grind? I wonder if maybe you've lost sight of why you're even doing the things in your life. See, there's this story that I read, and it, for me, it definitely helps put in perspective, I think, the model, the plan that God would have for our life. You see, God wants us to enjoy life. He wants us to have a thankful heart. And he doesn't do that without recognizing we're going to have challenges. There's a story in the book of Joshua where God is helping to lead the Israelites. They are on the brink of a river, and they are about to step into the promised land, the land that they had been promised from long, long away ago. They had been wandering around the desert, and they were just about to step into it. But there's this river, the River Jordan, that separates them from where they've been in the past and what's ahead, the promise, the good that is about to come. And God does something amazing. He provides a way for them to walk on dry land, again, similar to the Red Sea, like escaping Egypt and being out of slavery. He does it again, but he does it in a new way. You see, they have the Ark of the Covenant now. It's this box that basically God is in and represents God's spirit and him being with the people. And he tells them to say, hey, go take the Ark and walk out. Let them be like away from you, ahead of you, the rest of the people, and then walk there. And then as soon as the priests, like there's these guys that are carrying this Ark, as soon as they step into the water, the waters stop. And this source of life, this river, just dries up. And the Ark is standing there, and the rest of the people then walk. And they have to walk right by the Ark to be able to go then through dry ground and onto the other side to then start to enter into the promised land. And it's this amazing moment in the Israelites' history where they are leaving slavery, leaving their past, and about to step into their future. And as they do, when they get on the other side, God instructs Joshua to do something special, to do something unique. He tells them, I want you to take 12 stones from right around the feet of the priests that are holding the Ark. Take 12 stones and take them to the place that you're going to camp. It's this hill on Gilgal. And take them and make a monument. Stack these stones up and make them and consecrate them as a memorial. And he says this in Joshua 4, 21 through 24. It says, like, in the future, your children will ask, what do these stones mean? Then you can tell them, this is where the Israelites crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the river right before your eyes, and he kept it dry until you were all across. Just as he did at the Red Sea, when he dried it up until we had all crossed over. He did this so all the nations of the earth might know that the Lord's hand is powerful, so you might fear the Lord your God forever. See, I think this is really cool. God's connecting this moment in history, this miracle of drying up the Jordan River, to ultimately there at the end, being able to show others his goodness and his power and his love, that he will provide, that he will protect his people, that those that belong to him, he is there for. And he instructs them to make a memorial, something that is going to then, years after those that are alive then, years after that, other children and children's children are going to look at it and go, wait, 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 why is that the way it is? Why are those stones placed there? and they're instructed to tell and teach and share with these kids, it's because God is good. It's because God didn't just take us out of slavery and past the Red Sea. He brought us into this promised land on dry ground, and it was God that did it. And it's God's power that he wanted to show the nations, show the world, and he did it for us. So you see, I think it's pretty amazing that we have this kind of God that loves us and cares for us, that wants to protect and to provide for us. He wants us to be whole. And he recognizes that without him, we're lost. Without him, we will struggle. Without him, we will lose. Without him, we're going to gripe. And there's something about belonging to him, belonging as a part of his people and children of God, that we then get to enjoy guidance. We get to enjoy provision. We get to enjoy so much. And it's all, though, because of bringing glory to God, of pointing to him as the source. See, I think about life often, sometimes, like a slinky. You know, the children's toy, the slinky. You take it and, like, you do maybe go down a two-story building, or, you know, in your house or something like that, and you go down and you can get it to go one after another, you know, it just keeps on going and going. Or, like, my son, like, sometimes, like, he used to, like, take it, like, and fling it about, like, and it's just going up and down and up and down, you know, it's like, and he just is having fun with it. But, like, sometimes I feel like life often is, like, we're on the bottom side, right? And things are going up and down, and we're just being flung about. And sometimes we're just like, what is going on? Like, one time we're up and the next time we're down, and one thing after another. But life, I think, sometimes feels like that, right? And I wonder what we've attached our life to. What's the source? What's the thing that is pulling us? Is it God? Is he the foundation? Is he the one that has the hand on that other part of that slinky that is pulling us to where we need to be? Or is it the past? And we've somehow attached that other hand, that other part of that slinky, to the past. And it keeps on, even though we're needing to and we're stumbling forward, like, we keep on being drugged back. And not in a memorial way, in a remembrance way that is causing us to be grateful and thankful for what we've, that's happened, to then position us for the future. We actually just are being drugged back. Or maybe we're being stretched so far into the future that we're not, like, we're just barely hanging onto the presence, and we just, like, keep on getting thrown towards something else, but it's not really what it's meant to. And I wonder if we were to attach ourselves to God, that if we would actually start to be able to experience this joy, this connection, and this life full of thanksgiving, full of gratitude, that protects us and cares for us and guides us. You see, because I think that's what God intends. He intends for us to be connected to him. And when we make our lives about him, when we connect our passion and our purpose to him, he will guide us and protect us and be there for us. You see, because I think these other desires in our life of wanting to be there instead of here, or remembering the past, all of those things can well up desires inside of us and passions that are good. But if misplaced, they guide us in the wrong way. And passion is good, but it can be fleeting. But if you root your passion and purpose and realize that you're connected to a story that goes beyond you in this moment, it can be powerful. If you connect your passion to God's purpose for you in your life, I believe you're going to center yourself and connect yourself to something that will give you everything that you actually need. It is difficult and is hard, but it's worth it. The work in the middle of that kind of work and life, that kind of grind, produces something that I believe you're going to enjoy and is going to last. And yeah, it's going to take some more time. And yeah, it's going to take some more work. But in the end, it's worth it. And that's what I want to pray for you and pray into your life today, is that you would be able to take inventory of your life and see where God has done some really great stuff in the past and be thankful for that. See what's going on right now and the hopes and desires that you have, but then lay them before God. and put some things in place that help you remember what God is doing in the midst of it, like a stone stacked up as a memorial to point ourselves to God. And if you don't have one of those things, I encourage you to make it. Take a stone and write a sentence on it. Take something that was going on in your life and maybe make a word or something that reminds you of what had happened. Because I think sometimes we forget. We're like those kids. We're like, wait, why did that happen? And then the elders in Israel saying, oh yeah, this was because of this story in the past of how God worked and God provided and guided us. And I think we need to create those for ourselves. And so maybe take Thanksgiving meal and make that into that, whatever it might be, because I think we all need to be careful that we don't forget the way in which God is working in our lives and drawing us to a better future. But he wants us to be present in the moment now. You know, my family is one of those things for me. I love it. I'm married to my beautiful wife, Marissa, and my son, Levi. We have been blessed with for 8 years now. And the three of us make up our family. And I love them, and I'm so grateful for them. But Levi was not our first. Years ago, when we were praying for a child, praying for that hope of being able to be mom and dad, God blessed us, and Marissa got pregnant, but it didn't last. And one night, we woke up, things weren't right, and we ended up having to go to the doctors and get checked out, and to learn that we had lost this little one. It had only been so many weeks, but it had just been past us announcing it to our family and friends. And as a husband, I could not do anything to comfort, to guide, and to protect my wife. I couldn't. And it was a painful season in our life. But God worked in my wife and worked in me in a way that I am so thankful for today. And in many ways, Levi is the answered prayer to so many things that happen in the midst of and after that experience. You see, because when I see Levi and when I'm reminded of it, I'm reminded of God's goodness. When I look at Levi, I remember those nights sitting and trying to rub my wife's back and comfort her as we lost this child. But God did provide. He did do something in us and with us to provide us something that we'd cared for and wanted. But even when he doesn't provide, that was the beauty of this, is the peace and the joy didn't come once we got Levi. It came when we called on God, we called on Jesus, and made him the center of our life. You see, it doesn't come in when the circumstances change to be better. It comes in the midst of all of the circumstances when we call on Jesus and we say, yes, Jesus, I'm gonna follow you, Jesus, because I need you to provide. I need you to guide in a way that I can't. And so I invite you to do that. To make Jesus your anchor, to build things into your life that remind you of his goodness and his faithfulness amidst the circumstances that you're in. And so let's pray as we close out. God, I pray for everybody watching this right now, that regardless of whatever circumstances that they are in, that they would find joy, that they would find connection, that they would find the way to have a thankful, grateful heart in all circumstances. May they be rooted in you, your love and provision and guidance, knowing that your will for them is amazing. But your will for them and us is not just that all of our circumstances would be right and good in our eyes, but in the midst of that, for now, we call on you and we root ourselves, we connect ourselves to you. And so God, we thank you. We pray these things in your son's name, Jesus. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to this week's message from South Hills Church in Corona, California. We hope that you will continue to connect with us here online. We would love to hear your story, feel your questions, and learn how this ministry has changed your life. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by searching South Hills Corona.